This is All Things Considered on North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Jeff Tiberi. Time again to discuss the week in state politics with our usual guests, Rob Schofield of the Progressive NC Policy Watch and Becky Gray from the conservative John Locke Foundation are back again. Welcome to you both.
Hey, Jeff.
Some of the unrest of Charlottesville came to North Carolina this week. On Sunday, there were vigils and demonstrations of support and solidarity. Monday saw activists topple a statue of a Confederate soldier in Durham. On Tuesday, the governor called for all of these Civil War monuments across the state to come down. Roy Cooper would need the help of legislators if that is going to happen. Rob, there are about 120 Civil War statues in the state of North Carolina. Should they all come down?
Yes. A large proportion of these monuments were erected not right after the Civil War. They were erected decades later by people who were attempting basically to support white power. They were erected by politicians who were trying to subjugate people of color in the era after the Civil War. Many decades later, I think Governor Cooper was right when he said that history is important. These monuments belong in textbooks and museums, but not on place of allegiance on our Capitol grounds. I don't think you could say it any better than that. So yes, they need to come down. It's sort of an absurd situation that we're in right now that we even have to wait for the legislature to act so that local governments can move to take them down. But I'm very hopeful that it will happen in the near future.
I think, Jeff, as you mentioned, 120 monuments across North Carolina. I think absolutely every one of them needs to be considered whether to take down. I tell you, I really commend the governor in his remarks this week where he has asked the Secretary of Cultural Resources, Susie Hamilton, to take a look, take an evaluation. Where are they? What are they? How much would it cost to take them down? What is involved with taking them down? I mean, the initial reaction is, yes, we need to remove this. We need to get past this in our history, and particularly in North Carolina. But I think there's also a pragmatic side of it that we need to be thoughtful, we need to be careful, and we need to consider what the costs are. And then, you know, is there an appropriate place for these monuments to be placed, whether that's in a museum. I've heard some talk of perhaps on some of the battleground sites across the state. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know what the answer is, but I think it's an important conversation to have.
Rob, where should they go, if anywhere? Do they go in the trash? Do they go in museums? Do they go at Confederate Civil War battleground sites or cemeteries?
I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine that there's a place where they deserve any kind of public viewing. I mean, they are, as again, these were erected with a purposeful political message and mission of suppressing a large proportion of our population. They're meant to celebrate. This is very distinct from, let's say, a statue of a slaveholder who helped found the country. These folks who are memorialized in these statues are memorialized specifically because of their actions to commit treason, to suppress people of color, to enshrine slavery and racism. And so it's a very different story to me. And it's hard for me to imagine. Maybe there's some place where they can all be gathered up together and we can say, you know, this was a part of our dark history and past, but certainly not in the places that they are now.
I want to add a little context to something you've touched on a couple of times now. The monument that came down in Durham on Monday was dedicated in 1924. That's 59 years after the Civil War ended, after most of the veterans from that war had died. And it's important to acknowledge that a lot of these symbols, these statues, came not immediately following the war, but decades later as the Jim Crow South came into form and prominence throughout the American South. You also mentioned an American president, and I want to turn to Thomas Jefferson and ask you, I guess the question is, where's the line on this? Mm-hmm. And as we think about Thomas Jefferson, I think about both Monticello, which from my understanding, I haven't been there in 25 years, does a very good job of kind of honoring the Renaissance man Jefferson was and also noting the slave quarters on the property and that there were rapes that took place. Thomas Jefferson raped some of his several hundred slaves. Where's the line on this? I mean, there's a Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C. I've been there more recently. I don't recall there being any acknowledgement of his role.
Of his position on slavery. Jeff, I mean, that's sort of the question. It's something that I think that we need to study, we need to think about, we need to take lots of different opinions into consideration. There are a lot of North Carolinians, there are a lot of Southerners who believe that the Confederacy represents a part of our history and that in some way that needs to be remembered, if nothing else, as a reminder of where we don't want to go and the very painful part of that. So, I mean, these are important questions to consider. cetera. I think that, again, I think it's important not to just be reactionary during these very difficult, very volatile times, but to be very thoughtful about it so that we do it right and that we do respect particularly those who were enslaved and the whole idea of slavery, while perhaps a nod to the history, recognizing that it is part of our history.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think you can distinguish. I think you can make a distinction between a statute honoring Jefferson for his positive contributions to the country and a statue of a Civil War general who's being honored specifically because of his efforts to destroy the country. So there's a distinction there, but clearly you need to tell the whole story.
In our final moment or two, I want to talk about the functionality of this. A state law passed in 2015 bans municipalities from removing these monuments on their own. Smells on one hand like we could very well be headed toward another House Bill 2 conversation, local versus state power, the right and the left running to their corners. Although I would note, it doesn't appear that there's recourse on this. If Durham and Raleigh and Asheville and cities across the country start taking these down, I'm not exactly sure what the state legislature would do. What do you foresee on this? Crystal ball here.
Well, I think it's going to be a tough fight. I think Governor Cooper is absolutely right in calling on lawmakers to repeal this law. It was a bad law when it was passed. It was passed just months after the Charleston massacre. It sent a horrific message to lots of people. But I don't have a lot of optimism about the folks running the General Assembly these days. And I don't know. I'm very hopeful. Speaker Moore has made some hopeful statements about condemning Nazis and the alt-right and the racist white nationalists. Haven't heard much coming out of the Senate yet. I'm hopeful, however, that they will see the wisdom of Cooper's recommendation.
Well, I think it's important to recognize that in that law, it does not prohibit cities or municipalities from doing anything. It just prohibits them to doing anything without the permission and the authorization from the General Assembly. To be honest with you, that makes sense to me. Well, first of all, the home rule, North Carolina is not a home rule state. I mean, that's the way we're set up. You know, maybe in light of HB 2, maybe in light of this, maybe we need to revisit that and figure it out. The fact of the matter is, right now, we are not a home rule state. Local governments, municipalities are not authorized to do things. The General Assembly has to approve those. I actually think that's probably a very good idea to stick with this, going along with what Governor Cooper had suggested of taking an evaluation of all of the monuments across the state, what's the cost going to be associated with it. Also to bring in, I think law enforcement needs to be part of this. The community leaders need to be part of this, and perhaps some sort of coordination across the state makes sense to me as we move forward with this.
Becky Gray is Senior Vice President at the John Locke Foundation. Rob Schofield is Director of Research at NC Policy Watch, part of the NC Justice Center. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks Jeff.
Jeff.